four, three.
Log Talk Radio.
General Quarters, Security Condition 3.
GQ, Security 3, sir. General Quarters 3, intruder alert. GQ 3, intruder alert.
Hey, that's no intruder, that's my guests. And they're fabulous. Hi, welcome once again to Madame Perry Salon, the podcast that loves you. And dare I say it, yes I will, the podcast with more celebrities than the inauguration. I am your host, groove mistress and cruise director and spiritual advisor, Madame Perry, but you can call me Jen or Jennifer. That's just fine. And I have got so much fun. First of all, let me say my friend, my beloved friend, Kristen Lashley, is here co-hosting with me tonight. Kristen, what's up?
Hi, everybody.
How you doing? You having a good time?
Yes, I'm awesome. I was just chatting with our guests just for a second, and then all of a sudden it was like 5 seconds until showtime. So I said, I'll see you guys there.
That's showbiz, honey. And speaking of showbiz, right now I'm doing this part of my broadcast. And by the way, just so you know, first of all, thanks to everybody who keeps listening and making our ratings go up and our numbers are spiking, and I really appreciate it. We are still just really appreciative of everybody that follows and tell their friends about it. We've got so many cool guests coming up. We've had so many cool guests, and tonight is no exception. You know, I'm still kind of coming off of my Wild Wild West Con high and all the guests from that. But if you lose me tonight, folks, I want you to know that Kristen is going to be my co-host, and she may even be closing the show out because I am in the ladies' room of a holding area for actors on the set of where a movie's being made, and so I got off just in time to start the show. So I don't know if I'm going to be able to finish this, or they're going to come and throw me out once the extras have finished turning in their paperwork. Oh, my God, Fiona's out there somewhere, too. Fiona, my dog, and I were both booked on this. But anyway, so, Kristen, I know you're ready. Our guests tonight are two guys that have written a fantastic book, and it's their names are Tristan Jemerson, Archie.
Hello.
Bongiovanni. Hi.
Yay.
Hi. We're here.
Yay. Fantastic. Well, listen, tell us about your book, because, like I said, I've read it. I love it. It's a funny book. It's an important book too for right now, and but also, like I said, I'm broadcasting from a ladies' room. So tell people about your book, guys, and how you came to write it, and how you came to pursue it from the angle that you did.
Yeah. So our book is called A Quick and Easy Guide to They Them Pronouns. Tristan and I co-wrote it together, and then I did the illustration. For those that don't know, it's a comic book, a little short graphic novel. And it basically kind of spells out how non-binary pronouns, specifically they, them pronouns, are used, and how to be a good ally to your pals who use they, them pronouns.
It's a very base level on a kind of educational book. As we ended up writing it together, it was originally a super short zine that we made right when you switched to using they, them pronouns, and then we wrote it together with what it was like to switch to using they, them pronouns, and then what it was like to be someone that uses he, him pronouns, and I didn't know anything about they, them pronouns and what that process was like. That eventually got honed down. We ended up working with Limerence Press, yep. which was really great. We love them. And this, that kind of created this?
We really, for those that don't know what a zine is, I'm sure most folks do, but a zine is basically like something you can photocopy, staple, and like give to folks. It's really cheap to make and really accessible. So when our editor at Limerence Press wanted to make this into like a longer book, there was definitely like more information we could add, but it was really important to us that it would remain affordable. It's like $8, and that it is not an academic text, that it's very friendly and approachable, and full of like little tips and tricks and like hopefully some goofy jokes, mm-hmm. And like something that you can really leave at like your workplace, you know, in the break room, or give to a parent, or give to like a friend who's having a hard time understanding pronouns and it doesn't feel like you're breaking the bank to like share that information.
Yay! I think that when you said approachable, that's, and you made it approachable and you made it fun. So for people who are unsure, you know, what to do, they go, I don't want to do the right thing. I don't want to offend people I like. Well, I don't want to offend people I don't like, really. But I don't want to offend people that I like. And so what do I do? When do I do it? But you took it down to a level where it was fun. Right, Kristen?
Oh, yeah. Adorable. He's so cute.
Yeah, I think sometimes it's really hard learning something new, especially when it comes to, like, if you're not familiar with, like, not folks who are non-binary or a loved one of yours who you've known a certain way, you know, for a long time, switches identities or has come out to you, it can be kind of, like, scary and overwhelming, and that there might be, like, a little bit of resistance to change. So putting it into, like, a comic book, kind of like bring up the information, kind of like help approach it a different way than like maybe a blog post would, or like a very serious article might.
You know what's so funny about that when you put it that way is that I remember a few years ago at Book Expo America, John Lewis was there promoting his newest book, The March. Congressman John Lewis, and when he was talking to his assistant, Andrew Aiden is one of them, and Andrew had told us in a different situation later at another event for John Lewis that I attended, and Andrew said, you know, he kept talking about how do we reach young people with a story, and I'm guessing you know who John Lewis is. Congressman from Georgia, very important civil rights activist, and just a magnificent man. Well, he said, you know, John was going, how do we reach younger people? What's the story? And so Andrew and another guy on staff kept saying, Congressman Lewis, why don't we go with a graphic novel? You know, and John Lewis going, you want me to put my story in a comic book? And they're going, no, sir. A graphic novel, kids will read this, you know, whatever. And so it took them about 3 years to talk him into it. And so with the first one, March, came out. And it was great success. And there's two more volumes after that. But it took so long, you know, for Andrew to get John to realize, look, this is how you're going to reach people. It's not minimizing your story. It's not making less of the value of your story. It's just using a new way that reaches people.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. People love comics. Kids love comics. Adults love comics. And I don't think that there is, I think the more ways that folks can access information, the better. Like, I don't think having a comic form of this explanation reduces the importance of it existing in, like, a written way or a YouTube video or something. Like, everyone understands and look for information in different types of media, and I'm happy to help, like, spread that around in the way that I can with comics.
And I think the comic form, at least for this, it makes it more easily digestible. I think it also helps build empathy with the characters because you can, like, see the facial expressions. We live in a much more visual culture. But I think one thing that's really important to point out, though, is that this book, and I think some other books like this, are entry points for people and are supposed to kind of pique people's interest, but then they move on and then read the more academic works. You know, this is really just supposed to be like a basic touch point that hopefully people feel inclined to do more research on their own. And we really try to hit that point in the book.
Like a friendly and welcoming gateway.
Yes.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Kristen.
Nice.
Did you have a question?
Well, I don't have really a question. It's just I think it's awesome that, you know, especially when you're trying to communicate with people, you can't really it's kind of hard, like, how do you read? You can interpret words in certain ways. Sometimes it's hard to read your friend, even though you know your friend very well. Okay, so here's the wording of this phrase that my friend texted me. But did they say that in a mad way? Did they say it in a happy way? Like, you know, like you're sometimes words get confusing. So the graphic novel idea is perfect to really help with the communication of stuff. How to really, like, kind of digest it in a way where you can see someone's face and the way that the characters are drawn and reacting to each other really help to fortify what the message you want to come across, because you can actually see them interacting, which is something that's just, you can identify with it, and you can also, it just makes more sense. And it's clearer than just having words on paper. Does that make sense? So I'm like, yay!
Yeah, I think that's a lot of sense.
Yeah.
That's definitely so. So then let's get to the meat of the matter, though. Is like when you meet someone, say you're in a work environment, or I notice that people on Twitter sometimes in their description will put, you know, he, him, her, she, they, them, and sometimes on other social media in the little thumbnail bio. But if you don't know someone, do people tend to, if someone identifies they, them, do they just usually tell you? Do they let you make a mistake and then go, well, you know, you can also call me they, or where do we get our cues from?
Sure. You can't really assume or take any, like, social cues for someone's pronouns. There isn't, like, a certain way of dressing. There isn't a certain way of presenting that is indicative of gender identity. So that can be a little tricky for folks. But I think there's a couple different ways to, like, introduce pronouns into a conversation. And some folks are really proactive or feel comfortable enough to be like, I'm so-and-so, I use X pronouns. Otherwise, I think part of what we try to hammer through the book is that the more you offer up your pronouns first, it's like a nice stepping stone for other people to be included in that conversation. So when you're, like, meeting someone new, if you're like, I'm so-and-so, I use these, you know, X pronouns, what about y'all? And then it kind of, like, opens up that introduction into introducing pronouns.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good.
And then, yeah,
now,
just, like, obviously, oh, sorry, keep going.
No, you please.
I was just going to say, and then for, like, workplaces where you're meeting probably a lot of different people or you're corresponding to, like, the internet, having your pronouns at the end of your signature is really great.
Mm-hmm.
Again, like, if you're on Twitter, including your pronouns, like, in your bio is awesome. And just having, like, for non-binary people, seeing that someone has their own pronouns listed means that they're open to having a conversation about it.
Now, let me ask you this. As you know, you can probably tell Archie and Tristan, you can probably tell by my accent that I'm a Southerner.
Yeah.
No.
So, yeah, really. So does that mean that y'all can become more acceptable and popular and people like make less fun of us if they can say, oh, well, they're a they, them, y'all pronoun?
Yeah. I think so. I think it is completely gender neutral. I think, well, Tristan and I both come from working in the service industry, and that can be really tricky to, like, greet or meet, like, a bunch of people and not use gendered language, like, okay, you guys come over here, or what would you girls like to eat, or something like that. And so I think just in the service industry, it's become sort of second nature to replace groups of people with, like, y'all, even though I'm not from the South and from Alaska, like, the opposite. but it's just like another gender neutral term.
I mean, I grew up on the in Iowa on the southern border, so, you know, we were as close to Missouri. So I had some people in my life use the y'all, and some people did not. I use it now for the reason that it is gender neutral. It's also great, like, just in general, it's great, and I think it's definitely the Southerners have gotten right. I love it.
It's
That's
usually
right.
said in a friendly way. I hope it comes across that way.
Yeah,
come on over here.
I think it's really friendly.
Yeah, y'all want to go out tonight. Just to learn a little bit about each of you before we go, and if they throw me out of here, Kristen, I'll leave it to you to tell people, ask, you know, for their social media.
Okay.
And by the way, for anybody listening, if you have a question and want to call in and talk to Archie and Tristan, you could just call 646-716-9922 right now, toll-free number in the continental U.S., according to Blog Talk Radio. And I will be sharing all of their social media as well on my social media. And if you would repeat the title of your book for them, please.
Yeah, A Quick and Easy Guide to They, Them Pronouns.
All right. And we'll be sharing that on all of my social media for Madam Perry and for Jennifer Perry. So, Sika, just a little bit about you guys. Now, I know, Tristan, you have, I believe, a blog with a name that I just adore. It's called A Dish Served Cold.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was a...
Oh, my God. You got to talk about that.
That was a piece that was I did with the Moth for NPR, and it was great. I mean, it's super fun. I did that a couple years ago, and I ended up doing some work with them, traveling and performing at multiple locations, which was a lot of fun.
Awesome.
But,
well, what was it about?
Oh, I'll bet.
So, A Dish of Cold was a real story of something that happened to me that when I was working. I just moved to St. Paul, Minneapolis, and things weren't really going that great. And somebody stole my credit card information, and they took all my money at a point where I was about to go on spring break and go home and see my family. So I wasn't able to leave, and so I had a week of nothing. And so I went a little crazy, and I tracked them down.
And the main point, without giving away a spoiler, is can I give away how many Domino's bucks you want?
You got a lot of Domino's bucks out of it.
Yeah. It ended up being someone that worked at a Domino's restaurant, and then Domino's the
King of Domino's.
The King of Domino's called me in and apologized, and they sent me a very nice care package with a lot of Domino's bucks.
Wow.
But,
Whoa. All right. That's cool. I got it. Listen, you guys, I'm going to have to beg you to come back sometime because I want to hear more about stuff like traveling with the NPR and the Moth, too. And also, Archie, you're a queer comic writer, your work is in all kind of anthologies and easings.
Okay. All right. You tell us about, I've got to go sign out, and I will be back in just a moment. And Kristen's going to take over this interview from here. But I want to know about who the grease bats are, okay? The grease bats.
Yeah, I'm a cartoonist and a little bit of a writer. I draw monthly comics for a queer feminist website called Auto Straddle. And those comics have been published monthly for the past 5 years. And as of a couple months ago, they are now collected into a graphic novel that'll be out in the fall with Boom Studios. And that's called Grease Bats. I'm really excited about it. It's fictional. It's fun. It's kind of like by us, for us, sort of a slice of life of being like a queer 20-something as the blurb says, surviving late capitalism. But otherwise, I've gone for like Everyday Feminism and The Nib, and I'm really avid and really interested in like self-publishing. So I draw my own mini comics and my own zines, and I'll be at the LA Zine Fair in a little bit, and then take the Chicago Alternative Comic Expo in Chicago later this summer.
That is so cool.
That's me. Yeah.
So are you doing that full time now? Is that what's going on? Like, are you?
That's a great question.
Are you guys?
It is incredibly hard to be a full time cartoonist and have a living wage without parental or familiar help. So no, it is not my full time job. I work as a sex educator during the day, and then I draw comics at night.
Oh, well, awesome. So that's great because you can use that, the experience of life stuff to add to your comics and find little.
Right. I don't think that I'll ever be a full-time cartoonist.
Okay.
Because I like to have my hands in like multiple things. I like to be doing a lot of different things at the same time.
Like what?
Well, like before I was this, before I was working as a sex educator, I was a server, and I think I got to meet a lot of people, and I got to meet a lot of people that were also in the service industry, and that definitely affected my personal life and like who I hung out with, and then that was reflected in my comics.
I think that's one of the challenges. I think it's one of the challenges of when you're writing or you're making comics is if that's all you do, then that's all you have to write about. I think for us anyway.
Yeah.
And I think that we have both spent a lot of our lives working a lot of jobs, a lot of different jobs, a lot of entry level jobs to kind of make ends meet.
A lot of jobs at the same time.
Yeah, we do. Yeah. And I think I think as we've both gotten older, that that's just kind of become who we are. It's like you're always looking for new work. You're always growing. And I think that instead of having just one thing that you do, it works better for both of us to have a lot of different things going on.
Yeah, I feel like that's just I don't know anyone in my friend group who really just had like one job.
Yeah, I don't really.
Yeah.
I think that's it also just because we both kind of come from more service industry background.
Yeah.
Everyone's got a bunch of different stuff going on.
Yeah.
Sorry, what'd you say?
Well, that's just practical. It's a practical thing. You got to do what you got to do. You know?
I mean, especially it's just, I mean, we won't veer too far off topic in the state of the world, but having a lot of different jobs is kind of just a requirement for financial safety in the long run as well, is being able to do multiple things.
Right.
Have multiple skill sets that can be applied in any sort of short-term or long-term work to make ends meet, depending on how things fluctuate.
I don't think Tristan or I really come from a place of any sort of, like, job security.
No.
being able to be, yeah, okay, if this falls through, I've got this, and if this falls through, I can do this, and if this falls through, I got this and this outlet.
But I think that, but I think you're saying that that is our job security. Our job security is understanding that we can adapt and we can work any sort of different. We know what our abilities are and we can apply them to to make enough money to get by.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It probably makes you flexible enough to learn, to be a quick learner, to be a quick observer, and thus use all that information and to then write these awesome graphic books. I hope you guys keep on doing that, because this one was adorable. It was so great. It was, and I think that there's a lot of like what would you say? Like, would you say that you go by him, her, or do you also apply that to your life?
Oh, 100%. I don't think it would be. I don't think I'd be able to write this book if I didn't have like lived experience. I use they them. Tristan.
I use he him. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. And so that's kind of like also part of why we work together is, one, we made the zine, the short version, years and years ago together when I came out as genderqueer and came out as using they, them pronouns, because it got really tiresome to use or to like explain my pronouns over and over and over again. And Tristan had come from the place of like not knowing what this was and then kind of and understanding it. So we used like my lived experience and then Tristan's experience of like working through it and like and learning to create the zine or to create this comic together.
Yeah, because you guys have been longtime friends, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. We've been probably 10 years.
I think 9 years.
Nine
we years. Got her dog
9 years
ago.
Yeah.
But, I think 10 years of friendship.
Yeah.
Bro.
Yeah. It just makes us. I just feel old.
I feel young.
Yeah.
But
that has never changed in 10 years.
You're not old. You're seasoned.
Yeah.
You're well
seasoned. Yeah, I think that was one of the things that we had to really talk through when we were writing the book. Is I think one of the things that I struggle with is that this is not my story to tell. And so I wasn't really sure, like Archie asked me to be a part of it and I wasn't really sure, what I was going to be able to contribute.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one of the things that I really like what turned out in the book is I feel like I was able to contribute my experience, but not in a way that overshadowed, like my personal experience is so much less important than Archie's lived experience. And I think that was one of the things that we really struggled to, or that I really struggled to balance.
Yeah.
Of like, this book is not about me. It's not about my journey with these pronouns. It's about kind of like our friendship and how we moved through that.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, like, if I wanted to write like a quick and easy guide to like they, them pronouns that was like bi and for non-binary folks, I would. But I have slowly like kind of lost touch and connection with like cisgender folks who are struggling, and I don't have that perspective. I don't, or like well enough that I would be able to like articulate and write on it of like how hard it can be if you're not used to it, and how hard it is to change your language.
Yeah,
Tristan does.
I don't know if hard is the right word,
sure.
But sometimes it feels like it's a little bit of a minefield if you don't know what you want to do the best you can, and you want to be supportive,
right.
But there's no set of guidelines of like do this, this, and this, and then you are supportive. You kind of have to feel it out, and especially if you don't have the experience of being friends or know someone who uses those pronouns, it can be really difficult because you're going to get conflicting information from all over the place. And our book is no exception to that. But I think that one of the things that we really try to get across is that don't be scared to make mistakes.
Yeah.
Always try and be kind. And you know, if someone tells you something, then you need to listen to them. Someone says, oh, I like things this way, or I like things said this way. Your job is not to question that. Your job is to adapt your language to make them feel more comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
One of the examples that we use, one of the examples we use in the book is like, if your friend Robert is like, call me Bob, no one thinks anything of it. People are like, okay, Bob, and then they just like go on, you know, or they just like do it. And like having someone be like, oh, I use they, them pronouns, it is like a little bit harder, especially for folks who aren't used to like using language that way, but it is something that you can like adapt and change, and doesn't necessarily mean you need to like question them or doubt them.
It can be awkward, especially to lead with your pronouns in a group of people that you know you may not know. And so you may not know, like, kind of what that reaction is. But I think that's what we really wanted to get across. Like, that's part of what being an ally is putting yourself into those
uncomfortable situations.
So that other people don't have to.
So are you talking about, like, an uncomfortable situation? Like, are you talking about, like, say you're going to you want to make friends with somebody, but you're not quite sure, like, if the person, like, for example, maybe has more of an androgynous look and you're not quite sure, and it's like, you know, I just want to, you know, do, and I don't know, how would you say something other than, like, in a public venue, such as, you know, a service position, like, okay, there's four people here, let's get them set right at a table, can you give me an example of what you have experienced that has been awkward?
Right. I think it depends a little bit on the situation. But one, even if someone's like dressed androgynously or not, isn't indicative of pronouns. So someone could be dressed in like a suit and tie and use they, them pronouns, or a dress and use they, them pronouns. That's something that we try and kind of like hammer into the book, is that you can't assume, and you're not really doing, you have to basically ask everyone, and it does get easier.
Yeah.
You're in a service industry position. You don't have to ask your table, you know, or your server what pronouns. You could just kind of work your language around to avoid it.
I think what I'm talking about with more on uncomfortable situations would be like going into a new workplace, or a position that is like very heteronormative, and introducing yourself with your pronouns. And the reaction you get will probably not be other people offering up their pronouns. It will probably be confusion. But what you are doing then is establishing a tone of how you think that people should be addressed. Then that way, when someone comes in that does use gender neutral pronouns, that some of that ground has been covered already. I think that's the part that is, I think what happens is a lot of people are looking for like for really easy answers to not have awkward situations with people. And that's unfortunately just not really possible.
Yeah.
It is just an awkward thing. There's not really a good way around it.
Right.
There's no like one right thing that you can say, that you can introduce. You can't assume. But I found that like what works for me is to, whenever I meet someone new, is to introduce myself and immediately follow up with my pronouns.
Yeah.
And I would say that, I mean, depending on my situation, I've been met with people, you know, giving me weird looks or being confused or like, you know, and that's the position that you have to put yourself in.
Mm-hmm.
Is like you have to
that's how you
can help, is by forcing those conversations.
Yeah.
And you know, in my workplace it's a little bit different because I'm in a position of management.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, people aren't usually gonna, you know, my opinion comes with some gravitas. Whereas like moving into a position where you are in a, like lower on the totem pole, that's the kind of
that's
work
hard.
That's hard. And it's understandable. But like, that's the kind of work that we're really hoping that, or that I'm really hoping that like people that want to be cis allies can do.
Yeah. So like, if you were going to introduce yourself to me,
mm-hmm.
and you were going to kind of, you know, like how would you do that? Like, hi, you're Tristan, right?
Yeah, I'm Tristan. I was like, you know, hi,
ahead,
I'm Tristan.
Sorry.
I use he, him pronouns. And then, like, depending on the situation, sometimes when you put your pronouns forward, it invites the other person to put theirs back.
Mm-hmm.
But if sometimes if people don't know what you're talking about, you may not get anything in response to that, or you know, just a name. But once again, it's like I can't give like a – it's going to 100% depend on the situation. You know, at that point, depending on, like, the level of confusion, I might follow up with, like, asking them what pronouns they use, or I might not. It's just 100% going to depend on the situation. But if I don't ask in that moment, I will try to not use any gendered pronouns about them until I figure out what pronouns they prefer.
If I don't know someone's pronouns, if I don't know someone's pronouns and we're already mid conversation, then sometimes I'll just be like mid sentence, we'll be like blah blah blah, and oh hey, what pronouns do you use? And then they'll be like, and then I can continue the conversation so it doesn't make this like abrupt stop. But with anything, it gets easier. The more you do it, it will be awkward. And there will always be times when it's awkward.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's so new.
Yeah, I don't know if it's necessarily new. I think gender-neutral pronouns have existed for a while in a bunch of different forms. I think it is a little bit newer where workplaces are starting to respect these pronouns, as well as like places for fun, and like it's starting also to spread around because like I think social media, that folks who are like, oh, I think I feel non-binary, can quickly look up like a YouTube video and be like, yup, that's me, and then and are starting to use like non-binary language and gender neutral pronouns at a younger age.
Yeah. Yeah, because I would say like when I was growing up, it was very much like, you know, him or her, like that was it. That was the only thing, options. And so to have any other options, it's like, wait, what's happening here?
Right.
You know, and really? That's really, okay, wait a minute. That makes sense. You know, and then it's like, you know, why am I so focused on the gender? Why am I, you know, what is that? And then you become more focused on the person.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think it's like one thing to know, and I think we kind of talked about it a little bit earlier, is that like language is like kind of wild. And so what genderqueer or non-binary means to one person might mean something very different to another person, which is why I think in our book we emphasize like it doesn't matter why someone wants to use they, them pronouns, just that they do.
Yeah. Well, I just wanted to add also that Madam Perry wanted me to tell all the listeners that to go out and check this book out on Amazon. As Archie mentioned earlier, you guys really wanted to keep the price low. So a lot of places, like, it's like $8, you know, and it's a really great book, really great reference source for, you know, maybe your workplace where some older people could be having kind of a more difficult time wrapping their brain around it. So, you know, it's a good investment for everybody. And also that Madam Perry Salon is the podcast that loves them. That's what she wanted me to say. Yeah. And
that's very sweet.
Yeah. So what else of the because that's what I also mean by new. Like, because you say that these pronouns really, you're right. It has been around for a while. For people who are savvy, for people who are I would say probably more kind of go into a cosmopolitan atmosphere, a more diverse atmosphere, who are used to a lot of different kinds of people. And so when you're around a lot of more homogenous, you know, kinds of people, kind of thinking and that kind of stuff, this is such a great introduction book and something that can gently explain a little bit more and make it less scary. Because new is always scary. Always scary.
Yeah. So and I think it's a really great book. Yeah, and I think it's interesting because, like, you might be at a workplace right now and be like, no one uses these pronouns. There's no reason for us to, like, start doing this. But, like, there's a lot of folks who at work aren't out as non-binary.
Yeah.
Because our workplace isn't, like, safe. So I feel like if you are in that kind of situation and you feel comfortable doing so, doing some of that advocacy can help someone who might already be at your position to, like, come out eventually. Or it's just, like, a matter of time before all places, you know, start to have folks use all sorts of pronouns and identify all sorts of ways.
And also to open up a little bit about, you know, like, who you are as a person.
Yeah.
I can totally
see
that. Yeah, go ahead.
Anytime a cisgender person has a conversation to another cisgender person to help explain pronouns and identities, et cetera, is one less conversation a non-binary person has to have with a cisgender person who's clueless.
I would also, I do want to follow up and say that, like, that advocacy is super important, but the flip side of that advocacy of being that ally is making sure that you listen to non-binary people and listen to what they're saying and what they're asking of you. You don't want to over advocate and you don't want to talk over them you should be there to have those conversations. But when someone else with that lived experience comes in, you want to make sure that they're given the platform so that they can tell their
story,
like, and that you aren't talking over them.
Right. For example, if, like, Tristan and I are out, I'm like, I don't really want to tell people my pronouns right now. Can you just correct people if they fuck up? It's fine.
Yeah.
And other times I'm like, this is a space I feel comfortable in. I don't need you to say anything. I can talk for myself.
Yeah.
Or like, I don't, course, like, in the comic example, like, I don't feel comfortable correcting your mom.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah, and it's
she was actually
and it's
very
sometimes
mad at me. She did not
a
know
non-issue.
That was getting in there in the book, and she was mad that I threw her under the bus.
Oh my God, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh no.
In the book either.
Oh my God,
funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know what? You could use me as an example too, if you want, and in a future book, because, for example, I actually did not know about cisgendered, and until I looked it up, and that's what that is. So can you explain that a little bit to those who maybe don't know yet?
Yeah, we just had a second printing of the book come out. And so now in all the books that are printed now, there's a really nice, concise definition in the back that's really easy for folks to get to. Because it is a confusing term if you're not used to it, you know?
Yeah.
I never heard of it until today. Honest to God. Isn't that funny? I mean,
you've never.
So,
oh, yeah.
It's so,
Yeah, we can.
Yeah.
Let me find it real fast, because I'll just read you what we have in the book, because it's perfect.
Sure, sure.
But naturally, I don't have a copy of the book with me.
That's okay. You can also just...
So basically, for like cisgender, is like cis or cisgender is
yes.
a term used for folks whose gender identity matches the sex they were assigned at birth. So if you
yes.
agree with whatever is on your birth certificate, you're probably cisgender.
Okay. So I could be a cisgender queer. I could be a cisgender
yes.
heterosexual.
Correct.
Yes.
Cool.
You could be a
okay.
like a cisgender man, a cisgender woman.
I could yeah. be a cisgender then.
Mm-hmm.
Correct?
Maybe not. I don't think so. I think most people who use they, them pronouns don't identify as cisgender, although I do know some folks, or I have met people in my life who identify as cisgender, but they'll be like, oh, I use she, her, or they, them. But I think for
okay.
them, sometimes it's part of advocacy. Sometimes for them, it's part of, like, figuring out gender stuff, and, like, they're kind of, like, in the middle. And sometimes it's like, I don't really care.
Yeah.
We don't want to say
that. Because I like
them.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In
like
the end,
that.
Like,
I
their
like
reasons
that.
Don't really matter to us.
Yeah.
Like, it's whatever they want. It's fine with us.
Okay. So it's more of a matter of what they're comfortable communicating to you.
Yes.
Cool. So you were working on another graphic novel?
I have a graphic novel, as I kind of mentioned earlier, Greasebat, that's coming out with Boom Studios in the fall. So
yes.
I'm pretty pumped with that one. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but otherwise, I'm just low-key pitching, low-key writing, doing stuff on the
okay.
side.
47 now.
All right.
Yeah.
I don't really have anything to plug. I'm always kind of writing stuff on the side, but nothing that's nothing that I can talk about yet.
Yeah.
That's okay. That's all right. Well, I'm sure, I hope that you guys will collaborate again, because it is delightful listening to both of you, because I think I like that Archie is buoyant. I like how you are very, like, you seem to have such a great sense of humor and then bring such a great levity to, you know, and a subject that people find just a little awkward, you know? They find it a little, like, and that could be tense. And so that's such a great attitude. And then Tristan, how you're like, okay, here's the matter-of-fact stuff, you know? And that combination, see? So I would love, that's how I think this really works, is that kind of the both working together to, you know, to make it something of a informative and also entertaining, and not making, you know, just trying to communicate, being sensitive to other people's
yeah.
feelings.
Yeah.
We've been blown
yeah.
away by the reception.
Yes.
It's been very, very amazing and very humbling to see how this book has resonated with people. You know, we receive a lot of really very, very sweet stories of people using, you know,
yep.
You want to, I mean,
aww.
You get more of them. I do.
Yeah, so many messages from folks on behalf of their parents who are like, oh, I left this on the coffee table when my mom came over, and then I didn't know that she sat and read it, and then she did, and now she's starting to try and use these pronouns, and before, like, she wasn't. There's a lot of messages like that.
Oh, my God.
And then,
yeah.
Every once in a while, a message from, like, a parent or a teacher. Which is like, I didn't have any idea what was happening when I first heard they, them pronouns. I ignored it. And now I have like a beginning of a grasp. And those are like, it's encouraging, like, very humbling and really awesome to hear.
Well,
that's wonderful.
That's nice. Hey, this is Madam Perry back in the room again.
Hi, hello.
And I've just been listening for the past 15 or 20 minutes after I signed out and got
back on.
I thought, okay, you guys are doing so good. I'm just going to sit and enjoy listening to this myself. But
okay.
I just want to say, Kristen, thank you so much for handling the show tonight. Tristan and Archie, you guys are fantastic.
Yes.
I do hope you're both so fascinating. And I'm so glad your book is doing well, Quick and Easy Guide to They, Them Pronouns. But you guys have such a great body of work, each of you, and it's only growing. I would be honored if you would both come back sometime to Madame Perry Salon.
Yes,
we'd love to.
Yeah.
Okay. Yay! And of course, Kristen, too.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, absolutely. So, I just want to thank you so much. And this has been great. And your book, I just wish you all the success in the world. And again, I'll be sharing information about it everywhere. And I kind of get the feeling that Kristen's going to go ahead and do it anyway, even though I didn't ask her. But we'll be sharing the information with our friends on social media. And just all the best to you.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
You are so welcome. And thank Melissa for me for being so patient setting this up. You know, Fiona is over here. We just got through with our long shoot today, and she's exhausted.
Yeah. Sure.
She says she's show business not for her. It's just too much, you know, waiting and walking. And so thanks to everybody that listens to Madame Perry Salon and subscribes. And I think, Kristen, that – somehow I seem to have the fortune to get the most fascinating people on this show.
Well,
because you know, recently we had Brandy Stillwell, who writes for DC Comics and Warner, about her new comic book, Sasquatch Detective. She's fantastic. And we had, David Stives, who creates models and props for Star Wars and for Star Trek. And Neil Garr, who will take you on a vacation where you get to travel amongst extraterrestrials. So I think I'm the luckiest girl in the world. And you guys all make that true. So thank you so much. And I want to thank everybody for listening. Go out and buy the book. And be good to each other. And I think is our good night to everybody.
Thanks. Good night.
Have a good night.
Good night. Bye bye.
Good night.
Good night.
Hi, baby. Are you saying good night?
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, I hit end episode, and what does that mean? And it just gives me these, it keeps putting these things up back up here, these other tabs, it keeps opening up tabs. Where does it say log out? Hey, baby, you're welcome.